Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam. Today being Thursday, in the end of the bhajan session in Prashanti, in Cyclone Thal, you heard Bhagwan singing a bhajan in his golden voice. And whenever we listen to Bhagwan, how energized we feel, how electrifying it is, especially if you are there, if you have been there when Bhagwan was singing in Cyclone Thal. The energy used to be always so different. Hari bhajana bina sukha shanti nahi. There is no other way. There is no peace and happiness without singing the names of the Lord. The melody of His glory is what adds melody to our lives, is what adds color to our life. So in this spirit, let's move on and learn one more bhajan today. And before we begin, here is a prayer to Bhagwan. Let us offer our most loving and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we may feel Your presence every moment of our lives and live up to Your love and make You proud and happy with our thoughts, words and actions. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we will learn a bhajan adoring our Lord Bhagwan Baba as Lord Narayana. This bhajan is in Sanskrit and the first line goes like this.
Hari Hari Narayana,
so that is the bhajan, and like always, we will first get familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on and learn how to sing this bhajan. We will learn a little more about the raga of this bhajan, the beat of this bhajan, the meaning of its every word, and in the end, we will listen to a former student of Baba's university who was blessed to be a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group for decades, Mr. Sonam Yamso. So that is coming up towards the end of the program. For the moment, let's get familiar with the lyrics.
Hari Hari Narayana, Hari Govinda Narayana, Hari Gopala Narayana, Shri Hari Narayana, Rishikesha Narayana, Partisha Narayana, Saisha Narayana.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning to master the tune of this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow him after every line. Please join him, dear listeners, so that you can grasp the tune of this bhajan easily.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Madhyam. Hari Hari Narayana,
Hari Hari Narayana,
Hari Hari Narayana,
Hari Hari Narayana,
Hari Govinda Narayana,
Hari Govinda Narayana,
Hari Govinda Narayana,
Narayana,
Hari Gopala Narayana,
Hari Gopala Narayana,
Hari Gopala Narayana,
Hari Gopala Narayana,
Shri Hari Narayana,
Shri Hari Narayana, ಗೋಪಾಲನ
ರಿಷಿಕೇಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ರಿಷಿಕೇಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ರಿಷಿಕೇಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ರಿಷಿಕೇಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ಪರಿತೀಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ಪರಿತೀಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ಸಾಯಿಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ಸಾಯಿಶ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ
So that is how this beautiful bhajan flows. There is a lot of power and there is a lot of vitality in this bhajan. And let us learn a little more about the composition. What are the swaras that make this bhajan so beautiful? Anirudh is here with us in the studio. So tell us, Anirudh, what are the swaras and what is the raga behind this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu, as you mentioned, it is a very powerful bhajan. And the raga chosen for this bhajan is also very powerful. In the sense, it's not something like a very soothing, meditative feel where you sing very relaxed for Swami.
Yes.
It is something which is happening to you and...
It's a lot of vigor.
Yeah.
Yes.
That power and vigor is there
yes.
in this.
Yes.
That kind of feel is there in this composition. And the raga in which the bhajan is composed is Chandrakons.
Okay.
Many would have heard Malkons.
Yes.
It is also called as Hindolam in the Carnatic music. Whereas Chandrakons is just different from Malkons by a note, okay. which is Ni note.
Okay.
And Chandrakons is popular in Carnatic music as Hamsanandi.
Okay.
And the notes of Chandrakons I'll sing for you now.
Yeah.
Sa ga ma da ni sa sa ni da ma ga sa In this raga, if you see, sa ga, ga is komal ga,
ga one.
Ma da ni. The ni note is very powerful in this raga. Actually, the ni element makes it so different from the Malkons, which is very, it is not so powerful as Chandrakons. The Malkons raga is sa ga ma da ni da sa. Sa ni, ni one it is. Sa ni da ma ga sa, sa ga ma da ni da. Whereas in Chandrakons, sa ga ma da ni, ni. That is Malkons. Ni. So much difference and
yes,
that lot of power is added to the raga. Sa ga ma da ni sa da ma ma ga ma da da ma ma ga sa ni sa da ni sa.
Wonderful.
So this is Chandrakons.
Okay, so let's move on to our bhajan. Arvind Sai is here to follow as you sing the swaras for every line. Probably we'll get a very clear elaboration of the Chandrakons raga.
Definitely.
Hari Hari Narayana Madani Sani Dadani Sani Sani Dama
Madani Sani Dadani Sani Sani Dama
Hari Govinda Narayana Sasani Samamadagama
Sasani Samamadagama
Hari Gopalanarayana Sasamamadagamada
Sasamamadagamada
Shri Hari Narayana
So in this line you have a little bit deviation from the chandrakams, where you have
sariga
notes.
Yes.
I'll sing the swaras for this line.
Yeah.
Sa sariga ri sa sariga ri sa ni sa.
In chandrakams where you have
saga ma da ni sa.
In the aro you don't have sariga.
Yeah. Ri is not there in the raga at all.
Correct.
But it adds to a different, more powerful feel actually.
Yes.
Sa sari gari sa sari gari sa ni sa
Rishikesha Narayana sa sa ga ga sa ga ni sa ga
sa sa ga ga sa ga ni sa ga
Parritesha Narayana Mama gama sa sa ni da da ni sa ni sa.
Mama gama sa sa ni da da ni sa ni sa.
Sa isha narayana. Sa gama da gama sa sa ni da da ni sa ni sa ni da ma.
Sa gama da gama sa sa ni da da ni sa ni sa ni da ma.
Wow, it's such a great feeling when you know the swaras behind such a powerful bhajan. So Anirudh, are there more such bhajans in this raga?
Yeah, in chandrakams actually I think only some few compositions are there.
Okay.
But whereas in malkons, you have plenty of bhajans.
Okay.
Since I had mentioned you before that
yes.
Ni is different in malkons.
Yes.
So in chandrakons,
Raghupate Raghava Raja Rama.
Yes.
Jagadishahare Jayaho.
Yes.
That also has a chandrakons feel.
Yes.
Though if you go note by note, maybe something like this.
Rishikesha Nara.
That line, little bit it got deviated from chandrakams.
Yes. Yeah.
So there may be one or two lines in every bhajan which may just deviate.
Yeah.
But it gives a better feel and
yes. Largely
emotion,
based on
yeah.
chandrakams.
Largely based on chandrakams.
Wonderful. Okay. So let's move on to the beat.
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is regular 8 beat, Adi Talam.
Yeah.
And the count is 1. 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3
Hari Hari Narayana
Hari Hari Narayana
Hari Govinda Narayana
Hari Govinda Narayana.
Okay, thank you very much Anirudh and Arvind Sai for enlightening us about the raga and the tala of this bhajan.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam.
We are not done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. So let's move on now to the most vital aspect of bhajan singing. It is the feeling or the bhava which is so important when we offer a bhajan to the Lord. And for this, let us now understand the meaning of every word of this composition. So let's start with the first line.
Hari Hari Narayana.
Hari is another name of Lord Narayana, who according to Indian culture and spirituality is one among the holy trinity of gods. Apart from Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Lord Narayana is the one who sustains and nourishes the universe. Bhagwan explains that Hari means remover or destroyer, and he is called so because he destroys the hurdles on our spiritual path. The other word, Narayana, is actually the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara means water and Ayana means resting place. So Narayana means the one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Narayana is most often depicted as the one reclining on the ocean of milk. But that is the superficial meaning of this name Narayana. The word Nara can be further interpreted as Na and Ra. Ra means to perish and Na means to know. So Nara means that which does not perish. So this refers to the Jivatmas or the living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies. It only moves on. So in this sense, Narayana means the one whose ayana or resting place is in all naras or all living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is the one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. So in this line, we pay our obeisance to the Lord who sustains the entire universe and also pervades it. He is the one who resides in all individual souls and annihilates the obstacles on our spiritual path. Let's move on to the second line.
Hari Govinda Narayana.
Hari comes again in this line. Another meaning of Hari is he who is green in color, because Hara in Sanskrit means green. In the Mahabharata, Lord Krishna says, my superior complexion is green and therefore I am called Hari. Now why is the Lord described as a green complexioned one? Well, the sight of green gives a feeling of peace to the mind. Similarly, thinking about the Lord gives peace to the mind. He is the ever fresh, most peaceful and peace bestowing one. That is why he is Hari. The second word is Govinda. It is a name of Lord Narayana, used more often to refer to his incarnation as Lord Krishna. Being born in Mathura to Vasudeva and Devaki, Lord Krishna was brought up by his foster parents, Mother Yashoda and Father Nanda, who belonged to the cowherd clan of Vrindavan. As he grew up just like other boys his age, he also enacted the role of a cowherd boy and tended to the cows, took them for grazing in the pastures and so on. And so came the name Govinda, because Go refers to cows. But Bhagwan explains that cows here represent the animal tendencies within us. So Govinda means the loving Lord who tends to human beings and subdues their negative qualities. Go also means beings or souls or individuals. Every Sanskrit word has multiple meanings. So Govinda in this sense means he who tends the souls, who keeps the souls away from harm, who fosters individuals and who saves us from ruin. So that is Govinda. We have already seen the explanation of the word Narayana. But there's another beautiful meaning that Bhagwan gives. Swami says, Nara or man is the iron, Narayana is the magnet. And what is the force that draws the two, Nara and Narayana? Swami says, this force is bhakti or devotion or love for God. That is the connection between Nara and Narayana. So when we sing Hari Govinda Narayana, we call out to the Lord who fills our minds with peace. Whenever we think of Him in our hearts, He is the one who attracts us towards Him and looks after our welfare at all times. Let's move on to the third line.
Hari Gopala Narayana.
Here the new word is Gopala. This can be split into Go and Pala. Go, as seen earlier, refers to cows, but it also denotes senses. The word Pala means protector or master. Thus Gopala is the Lord of our senses. When we surrender to Him, He ensures that all our sense organs function in the way they are supposed to. He makes us utilize them for good purposes, and He thereby lifts our consciousness from the mundane to a divine level. Therefore, when we sing Hari Gopala Narayana, we pray to the Lord who is the master of our senses. We pray to Him to enable us to use the senses in the right manner all the time. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Shri Hari Narayana.
The The word Shri is a mark of respect used while addressing someone, and the other two words are already familiar to us. So in this line, we call out to the benevolent Lord who sustains the universe and sustains everything in it. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Rishikesha Narayana.
Here the first word is Rishikesha. Now there are several interpretations for this name. One meaning comes from splitting Rishikesha as Rishi, which means that which gives happiness, Rishi, and Kesha, Kesha means race. So Rishikesha means the one who in the form of the sun and moon makes this world happy through his race. To substantiate this, there is a statement that Lord Krishna makes in the Mahabharata. He says, the sun and the moon through their kesa or rays always uphold the world by awakening it and causing it to sleep. By such awakening and sleeping, the world is delighted, and consequently, I come to be known as Rishikesha. The other meaning of Rishikesha reminds us of the complete unending joy lying within us, because Rishikesha means he whose hair stands on end with joy. Kesha means hair. And how beautiful is this description of Bhagwan's hair. The Lord's hair always stands on end with joy. And he makes the hair on our body stand on end with joy, with ecstasy whenever we think of him. He is that Rishikesha. On one occasion, Mrs. Elsie Coward, one of the early devotees of Swami from the West, related a story about how Bhagwan once told some young men that they should cut their hair. And these men from the West protested because Swami did not cut his. And so Swami handed them some scissors and told them to cut his hair. But when these young men tried to get near Bhagwan's head, they just could not do it because there was so much energy around Bhagwan. They said there was so much power exuding from Bhagwan's hair that they could never approach his hair. That is the mystery of the Lord's crown. Another time, someone remarked to Swami that his hair was turning grey. And so, very gently, Swami rolled his hand over his hair. He patted his hair and he just said, "No more grey." And instantly, it had indeed turned back to the original colour. So he is that master of the beautiful crown that he has. Continuing more on the meaning of Rishikesha, a third and most important meaning, according to an old derivation, is Hriska plus Isha is Rishikesha, and it means the Lord of the senses. During the summer course of 1979, Bhagwan explained, Rishikesha is the Lord, the master of all senses. Arjuna is Gudakesha, the one who has acquired sense control. Gudakesha is the disciple of Rishikesha, Bhagwan explained. So like Arjuna, Bhagwan wants us also to acquire sense control and elevate ourselves to the divine level. And how can we do this? We can do this only by seeking Bhagwan's help. In the Sanatana Sarathi issue of December 1977, there is a powerful life-altering experience of Dr. Meera Molidyan from Uruvakonda in Andhra Pradesh, who was actually a classmate of Bhagwan Baba from his high school days. He was a registered medical practitioner for many years in Uruvakonda, and due to some unforeseen circumstances and their effect on his mental condition, unfortunately, he got addicted to the habit of taking morphine injections. So it began with 2 injections per day, and within 8 days it went to 4 injections per day. And this kept on increasing, and within 3 months he got so addicted that he had to take 30 injections per day. He just could not reduce the intake. His income of about 800 or 1000 rupees per month at that time proved insufficient for the injections, and the habit became so addictive that he kept selling a lot of his own possessions in order to buy these injections. His wife had died and he had 10 children, but he never bothered to think about them during those years because for him, every day existing was a challenge.
There were times when his kids used to wait outside his room, and when they saw that some patient gave money to their father, they would cry piteously to him and saying, "Father, give this money to us. We have to purchase some grain. We have to buy some biscuits." But he used to shout at them and drag them away because he needed the money to buy his morphine injections, because otherwise he could not just manage to breathe. And this continued not for a month or two or a year, but for 9 years. It had completely shattered his life. Dr. Moidyan was driven to such despair that he started wondering now how to get rid of this vice. On some days when he had to take less than on previous days, he suffered such agony by having pain all over the body, yawning, sweating, fear, effusion of saliva, stuttering, cramps, you know, the whole body used to shake. And so there was no way he could really stop taking the injections. And with time, everything in his life was falling apart. His medical practice had declined, his physical health was as bad as it can be, his family and his children, everything in his life was in disarray. And he was repenting now, but he just found it impossible to give up the habit. And it is at this time that he heard one of his friends, who also had fallen victim to the morphine injections, had gone to Chennai, and he had returned after a cranial operation by which the doctor said that his habit could be got rid of. And this friend had spent about 3,500. This is many years ago. This is in the 70s. So hearing this, Dr. Moidyan also thought maybe he could try that. But the problem was, he did not have money at all. And there was no way he could live a day if he did not take the injections. There were times when he begged, borrowed, and he visited hospitals just to get one more injection. And it is at this time of his life, when it was the darkest hour, he heard that there is a Satya Sai Bhajana Samiti which has been started in his town. And he heard that these devotees do bhajans at a nearby temple. And Dr. Moidyan's friend, Dr. N. Anjaneyalu, was the organizer of these bhajans. So one Thursday, Dr. Moidyan went and sat in a distant corner listening to the bhajans. And during the bhajan, he took a vow in his heart. He looked at Bhagwan's picture and he told his heart and he prayed, "Baba, you were my classmate in the high school years ago, but you cannot forget me. You must be remembering me. You know the depths to which this habit has dragged me. Baba, there are some who doubt you and who may not adore you as God, but I am not involving myself in that controversy. If you can bless me with the mental courage and strength to get out of this vicious habit, I don't care what anyone else says, I will believe that you are indeed God." So this is the mental prayer that he made to Bhagwan. And the bhajan ended and the vibhuti prasadam was given to everyone, holding the packets of vibhuti and resolving to rely upon Bhagwan to help him kick the habit. He returned home. And he decided that he would not take a single injection of morphine for 3 days, whatever might happen. However hard the conditions might be, he would not touch the injection. And he said to himself, if he still survived after 3 days, he would adore Baba as God. So the first day he did not take any injection and he had no calls of nature that day. He had profuse sweating, cramps in the muscles, burning sensation all over the body, wild imagination, streams of tears, cough, everything gave him just a terrible time. And all he did was just swallowed small quantities of vibhuti and just carried on. And the second day was worse. There was blood in his urine and stool. And he thought, it is probably better for him to commit suicide because it was unbearable. He somehow roughed it out on the second day, and the third day dawned. Having somehow survived the 2 days, he had now made the determination and he sworn that day that he will not touch morphine. Doesn't matter if he does not survive the third day. And that night, the pain became so excruciating that he was shouting and groaning and wailing in pain. It was so bad that he hit the floor with his feet, he hit his head against a pillar, he blabbered loudly and was shouting. He just did not know how to control the pain within. His children wept and wailed, and the neighbors came because his condition was absolutely pathetic. So some people came in and they seeing his conditions, they didn't know what to do. They too were crying. They were shedding tears and sympathy. Finally, a doctor friend came at about 3 a.m. on the third day, and realizing that Dr. Mohideon's pitiable condition was because he did not take the morphine, he somehow brought 4 injections from somewhere and said, "I have brought these. Now, Mohideon, take the injections." And Mohideon replied, "The promise I have given to Swami will lapse tomorrow. Keep the 4 safe until morning." It was 3:45 a.m. at that time. His children were sitting around him, and he told his little daughter to get him vibhuti from a shelf. The little one brought the vibhuti and gave it to his father. Dr. Mohideon swallowed a pinch along with water. And then, he says, in 10 minutes, mysteriously, he just fell asleep. And during sleep, he felt as if he was on a pilgrimage, because he slept well until 11 a.m. the next day. From 3:45 a.m. to 11 a.m. the next day, the fourth day, the doctor friend, hearing that he had awakened from sleep, he came around noon with 4 morphine injections because he thought he would just need them now. But he was so surprised when he saw Dr. Mohideon was reclining in his armchair, very calm, no sign of any after effect. And when this doctor friend asked him, "How are you?" Dr. Mohideon replied very softly, "By Swami's grace, my mind is clear and calm." So the doctor friend said, "So in that case, I believe you have no need for the morphine now." And in a firm tone, Mohideon said, "No, there is no need." And his friend was overjoyed. He said, "Wow, what a happy news you have given us. How pleasant it is to my ear. At last, after all these years, Swami has showered his grace on you." And Dr. Mohideon says that since that day, he did not have the slightest inclination or provocation or urge to take morphine again. His health improved wonderfully. His medical practice picked up, and his children also became happy, and they went on to become successful. In fact, the Wednesday after his recovery, Dr. Mohideon joined the Nagar Sankirtan group that passed before his house, and reaching the local temple with them, he related to all the devotees of Bhagwan the story of his vow and the fulfillment. His friends, his relatives, his well-wishers were so happy. And Dr. Mohideon says, "I have no doubt that the divine will of Swami can cure everyone suffering from any vicious habit, provided they surrender to him. I am convinced he is divine, and his grace alone has saved me, and his grace alone will save anyone. When we surrender to the Lord, he does help us conquer our cravings and refines us and then elevates us." And that is the beautiful meaning hidden in these 2 words, Rishikesha Narayana. The Lord with the beautiful crown of hair, the one who in the form of the sun and moon makes this world happy through his rays, the one whose hair stands erect on end with joy, the one who is the controller of our senses. Let's move on to the 6th line.
Paritisha Narayana.
Paritisha comes from Parti, referring to Puttaparthi. So Paritisha is Lord of Puttaparthi. So in this line we call out to the Lord who chose to make Puttaparthi as his divine abode. And now the last line of this bhajan.
Saisha Narayana.
Saisha comes from Sai and Isha, which means Lord Sai. So Lord Narayana is the same one who came again as Lord Sai Narayana. So with that, we have understood to some extent the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And you will now hear the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan as sung by the students of Bhagwan's University.
Hari Hari Narayana.
Hari Hari Narayana.
Hari Hari Narayana.
Hari Hari Narayana.
Last part of this program, here is a small excerpt of a conversation that I had with Mr. Sonam, who joined Bhagwan's university way back in late 70s, and he had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan for many years. Not only that, he was also blessed to compose many beautiful Sai Bhajans. Today he shares one such beautiful experience.
I can tell all my sisters and brothers today that just empty your heart and be a receptacle, just ready to receive that Amritam. And beautiful bhajans will start manifesting through anybody, whomever he touches. No matter our prowess in music, it's not at all necessary, it's not at all needed. Ultimately, music is what music does.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
And here was this bhajan, and I was at that point of time caught again, once again, in that web of that I-ness that I have really composed it. And I was not happy with that composition. In fact, to make it still worse, I thought that I was ashamed of that composition. But nevertheless, I sang it in the mandir. I had the temerity to sing that bhajan.
Pannagashayana Kali Avatara Narayana Hari Om परम निरंजन नीरज नयना साईश्वराय हरियो मुक्ति प्रदायक पाप विनाशक सत्य सनातन तुम हो दीनानाथ है प्रभु परमेश्वर करुणा सागर तुम हो.
This was a bhajan, and Lakshminarayan Koti, I still remember that day, he was in his staircase duty, and he just came out from Swami's interview room, and I was just sitting there to ask somebody to get a feedback from people, how was this bhajan today? Did it go well? And Lakshminarayan Koti was the first person, a wonderful singer. He told me, hey, this bhajan is so beautiful, man, you sang it very well. And then I was so happy. But then can you imagine a man, a human being, another fellow human being complimenting me? And then I feel fantastic about it. These are all, you know, hallmarks of ignorance. In the first place, to think that I didn't compose it well, but then again singing it, again feeling, trying to get a feedback from people, and then getting, you know, feeling so happy and buoyant that somebody has complimented and said at long last that bhajan is good. Then the next day in the morning, Swami came straight to me and said that, you know, it was, for me, it appeared out of context when he straight away came and told me, when you just trying to put together, when you put together words and then sing it out, you know, just sing it in some tune, does it become a bhajan? He asked me.
Swami told you that?
Yeah, he asked me. Kuch words ko jod ke usko gaata hai, wo bhajan hota hai? He asked me. I was in a state of shock.
Oh,
then the only thing that came out from my mouth, I said, Swami, then how to compose? Swami said, itna ego kai ko karta hai. Ego mat karo. Sab theek ho sakta hai. And went away. And it has taken me all these decades today to really go to the depths of that, you know, to understand the purport of what Swami had said that day. One more beautiful thing that he said on that day was, Bhagwan ka naam, he said Swami, Swami ka naam bhi list banata hai, wo poetry hota hai. You know, even if you list out the different names of God, it becomes the most beautiful poetry. That's what he told me that day, and he just went away. Today, in retrospect, when I look at it, what a profound message. You know, in the first place, if you do away with this doership, like, you know, your authorship of a composition, or that you have sung it, and how did I sing it? If you don't have that in mind, a bhajan is just a bhajan, and it lifts you up. You know, it's a lifting experience. But then the moment you taint it with this feel that I didn't sing it well, today something happened, you know, then the whole bhajan gets completely distorted. Because Bhagwan to bhav ke bhukhe hote hain.
Yes.
He is not bothered about whoever has sung in whatever manner and what were the nuances. But that bhava should be there in that composition.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, a member of the Prashanti Bhajan Group for many decades and who still comes to Prashanti Nilayam and sings in the Sai Kurunth Hall. So with that, we have reached the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you enjoyed it. Please do send us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Sunil and Abhishek are the audio engineers for this program, and the background score you heard was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With hearts full of love and gratitude, we offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. So with that, it's time to conclude this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Coming up next is Shravanam Mananam Nityathyasanam, our series based on Bhagwan's discourses. But I will be back after 1 hour after Shravanam Mananam Nityathyasanam for a fresh episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. And today we want to listen to the second part of the conversation with Dr. Narasimhan. This is the second part of the Inspired Lives episode featuring Dr. Narasimhan, the director of Sri Sathya Sai Mobile Hospital. You will have plenty of inspiring moments when you listen to this story, because he's going to talk about what made him what he is today, a colossus of inspiration. So that is coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, enjoy listening to Shravanam Mananam Nidhyasanam. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.